podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
BoxingWiz.com.
All the guys want. I want what Mayweather got. I want what Mayweather got. Beat him, bust your ass like Mayweather. I was trying to fight every fight. I sacrificed a lot. To get to where I got to.
What do you bring to the table?
Let's get this on. Where's my kid? Wait.
All right, that's it. Hold on. Bernard, everybody calm down.
Man, you know how these bitches is in this court. Total disrespect. Kid has no class, no style at all.
I sacrificed a lot.
BoxingWiz.com.
To get to where I got to.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another spontaneous edition of the Boxing Voice Podcast, hashtag TBV Podcast. We are back. It is a early afternoon here, Monday, February 19th, and we have some breaking news for you. Daniel Miracle Man Jacobs will be taking on Macy Sulecki, the Polish middleweight. It's going to be a stacked card. Depending on how you look at it. You know, you got Gerald Miller taking on former Deontay Wilder opponent, Johan Duopai, for an IBF eliminator an eliminator for the WBA world title, not the IBF. But the IBF will be on the line, and the WBA straps will be on the line in the world lightweight title challenge and battle between Katie Taylor, the newfound champion, and her opponent, Bustos. So we have a triple header to discuss. Also on the preliminary bouts, you'll have Arthur Spielka rounding out, because this card is going to be straight out of Brooklyn. It's going to be in the Brooklyn Barclays Center. And, you know, with Solecki, with Arthur Spielka,
Big Baby Miller
and Daniel Jacobs, this might be a little sold out crowd. Let me get to my overly anxious co-host here.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one to stop it. Lindsay the Conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody like me. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nassau. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart.
Get
up!
Yeah, I'm a little anxious. Lunchtime with TBV. And even though, you know, maybe Daniel Jacobs will get a little hate, you know what I mean? Because I don't know how high people are holding up Sulecki as a challenger or as an opponent. But nonetheless, he's been looking good, Sulecki, and I think it's a good fight in between. You know, maybe Jacobs is going to be looking at a bigger fight later this year. You never know. But, I mean, I don't think it's a bad fight. I think it's a good fight. Sulecki was looking good. He looked good with Centeno. He knocked him down. Tico was a TKO or a KO at the last round, 10th round. He caught him with, and you know, through the whole fight, he looked strong. I mean, I got no problem with Sulecki versus Jacobs. You, Ness?
Do I have a problem with it? I don't have a problem with it from a, I guess, literal standpoint, because it is a decent fight. But there are some issues with the fight. Sulecki is a career 154 pounder. But he's defeated some decent names. It's going to take a guy like me to help you decipher the names on his resume, but he does have some decent names. Hugo Centeno Jr., who's going to be fighting now at 160 pounds, who is the current maybe silver WBC or the interim WBC in the middleweight division. He's
just got a KO win too, right?
Yes, he's got a KO win over Emmanuel Lean, and now he's going to be fighting Jamal Charlo for the right to fight the winner of Canelo and Triple G. So Selecki has a TKO win over Hugo Centennial. Derek Finley from Philadelphia, also journeyman, a guy you put your guy in there to test, you know, make sure that your guy is the goods and can get the win over a rough target Philadelphia fighter, known well in the boxing scene, Derek Finley. Decent win, nothing to call home and talk to mom about, but a decent win. Gregoris Praska, another decent win. First man to give Praska his first loss was Gennady Gennadievich Golovkin. Or second loss, should I say. Kerry Hope actually gave him his first loss. But since the Gennady loss, he was only able to get one win. And after that, lost to Sergio Mora and then again lost to Selecki. But still, common opponent, decent name. Jack Coakley. Oh, that name's not sticking out? Well, I'll remind you. He just lost his title to Demetrius Andrade, the WBA super welterweight title. And then 7 months later, Selecki defeated him as well. Some other minimal names scattered throughout his record, like a Darryl Cunningham, you know, things like that. Nothing groundbreaking. Or like I said, to write home and tell mom about, but a decent fighter. What I don't see here is I could have sworn he beat the kid from the DMV area, Antoine Douglas. I guess I was wrong about that. Maybe it was not Antoine Douglas. Maybe Antoine Douglas lost to the one from our gym. What was the name? Suicide? The racketeering charges? Kersides.
Kersides, yeah.
Yes, that must be it. I thought Selecki also defeated Antoine Douglas, but I do not see his name now that I am checking a resume. But I will say he has never fought at 160 pounds, so this is going to be his first time fighting at 60, you know? I mean, earlier in his career, he obviously fought at 60, but he had been campaigning at 54 for his last three fights. When he fought Hugo Centennial and defeated Hugo Centennial Jr., he did fight him at 160. Derek Finley, another big guy, he did fight at 160. And Darryl Cunningham also at 160. Gregoris Praska also at 160. And you know, Gregoris Praska, we all know, was a natural 160-pounder, common opponent with Gennady Golovkin. So I guess, Doomsday, buy or sell, is this a good enough name for Daniel Jacobs? If you're critiquing Matchroom and Eddie Hearn for the job that they're doing promoting Daniel Jacobs, are they doing a good job now with Luis Cubas Aries and next up, Selecki?
I mean, I don't see how they're doing anything wrong. I mean, You got a fighter that's coming off of good wings. I mean, he beat Jack Kulikai in a tough slugfest, you know, in the WBSS tournament. I would buy also because of the undercard and the other fighters that are going to be fighting in this card. It's a win-win situation for the boxing fan, in my opinion. But particularly this fight, who else is Jacobs fighting in this division? I mean, it looks like all the other prominent fighters are probably busy or either, you know, scheduled to fight somebody. Why not Selecki, a guy that's coming off of wins? And that, you know, if you see his last two fights, he's a durable fighter and he doesn't lose pace. Looks like this guy's a, you know, he's
look, man, I like Selecki. He's a decent fighter for 54. You know, I would probably pick him, or it would be a dangerous fight with him and Saddam Ali because he brings some pressure. But
This is
Daniel Jacobs' second 154-pounder. Matchroom and Eddie Hearn made Luis Cubas Aries move up from 54 to fight Jacobs. Now they're making another 54 move up to fight Jacobs. This is a six-fight deal with HBO. Is this what HBO spent their money on?
I mean, is this the first fight? What was the first fight in the HBO deal?
Luis Cubas Aries, 154-pounder.
All right. I mean, what other fighters are busy
HBO middleweight's busy, Canelo, Gennady. But you got Rosado available. You got Billy Joe out there, even though Billy Joe, I think, is tied up with Martin Murray now. But you got, you know, David Lemieux, I'm assuming, needing to come back. He's probably not going to want to take a Daniel Jacobs fight. Maybe there aren't any available people, but does this Solecki guy help you remember Jacobs when Gennady and Triple G are fighting on Cinco de Mayo? Or does Jacobs just get forgotten with such a little unknown opponent?
I mean, I know HBO probably got some smack, you know, because of the last card with Lewis, you know, Lewis being the smaller guy moving up and, you know, him having this crazy weight advantage or whatnot. I know it looks, he's doesn't look good and you know, for the crowd. But, you know, one thing I like about this matchup is that Solecki, he moved up from 154, but he's not a small guy. I think they're both going to be, I think height-wise, they're going to be the same height. I think length-wise, if anything, maybe Solecki got a little more reach. I don't feel like, even though it's a smaller guy stepping up, I think Solecki's filling in. He's going to fill in pretty good to those extra 6 pounds.
Well, I'll say this. Sergey Dvurchenko is available, but he's never going to fight Daniel.
Why is that?
Same manager. Not Al Haymon, but Chris Conley, his manager. Demetrius Andrade is available.
You know what? Demetrius doesn't...
Ryota Maroda is available with a title, I believe. Doesn't he have that title from... Yeah, he got the WBA strap. Now, it's not the real WBA because we all know who has that WBA. But I don't know if this is a sexy enough opponent. I mean, listen, for God's sakes, even Billy Joe is fighting a more relatively known opponent than Solecki. Is Solecki the better opponent? Yeah, I would say Solecki's the better fighter. He's fresher. He's undefeated. He's got wins. But Martin Murray is more known. And again, if you're signing the Matchroom to help him build your profile, I don't know if they're doing the right job. You got David Lemieux, who's possibly not going to take it, coming off the Billy Joe Saunders fight. Hugo Centeno is tied up. Reginald Quillen, I don't know. Is he coming down from 68 after his loss to Eubank Jr.? I don't know. Andy Lee is still around there. Willie Monroe Jr., that would have been a decent fight. He's a known name, common opponent with a few guys, you know, both across the pond and here. You know, that would have been a decent name. Please not George Sebastian Highland. Austin Trout is a 54 guy. Mundine is too old. Aries, he beat. Tommy Langford, not worth it. Hassan and Dom. Maybe Hassan and Dom because he's known, you know, but again, he would probably get criticized because then Dom at this point, you know, losses to Peter Quillen, losses to David Lemieux, losses to now Ryota Maroda. As you skim down this, I think that the only name that made sense, popularity sense, was Gabriel Rosado. Gabriel Rosado was the right fight, in my opinion. They were trying to do negotiations with Gary O'Sullivan. I didn't think that was the right name. You know, that's a name that's only known in the U.S., excuse me, the U.K. Now, is he a common opponent with Billy Joe Saunders? Yeah, but is that enough? Would you tune in because he's fighting Gary O'Sullivan?
I mean, you got El Zurdo, who just had a fight. You know, he's not going to go back-to-back. You know, that was another – that would have been a good fight.
What's Zurdo? Not 68 pounds, Zurdo.
He fights at – well, yeah, he's a super middleweight, but he's fought at middleweight, I guess.
Yeah, but he's the champion at super middleweight. He will not be coming down, believe that. I don't know. I guess they did their homework. I mean, I'm looking at about 25 names here. The only names that stick out, again, are Curtis Stevens, but he's been out of the ring for a while. He's also trained by the same trainer as Daniel Jacobs. Another name that makes sense, Demetrius Andrade. Sergey Dvurchenko makes sense, but also has the same manager as Daniel Jacobs. Ryota Maroda makes sense. Andy Lee would have made sense. Willie Monroe Jr. would have made sense. Hassam and Dom at the very low, low, low end would have made sense. Gabriel Rosado, I think, would have made the most sense. Now, let's switch our attention to the heavyweight division. Obviously, we have Big Baby Miller taking on former Deontay Wilder opponent Johan Duopai, who was also knocked out on one day's notice, fought in sneakers for a Alexander Povetkin that tested positive 24 hours ago, lost to Povetkin. Most are believing Povetkin was hot on PEDs at the time of the knockout. Buy or sell the opponent that Matchroom Eddie Hearns has found for Gerald Miller.
Shit, man. Do it by the dog. I think Baby Miller's definitely going to be tested on this one. I mean, when Wilder fought him, he didn't look too bad. He didn't look scared. He didn't look intimidated. So, you know, it's a fighter that is definitely going to be coming in to fight.
I'll tell you what I like about this is that they're giving Duopai 8 weeks. He's got more than 8 weeks. This fight's not till the 28th of April, which gives him more than enough time to prepare. And that was the knock on the Povetkin fight, you know? So we'll see, because this guy got discredited when he fought Deontay Wilder. They called him a bum, and that Deontay Wilder was fighting a bum. So let's see if the tables change and all of a sudden Big Baby Miller is fighting a dangerous opponent. But I do like the fight for Miller, but I have to ask the same questions. You signed with Matchroom to raise the profile. The ultimate objective as a heavyweight signing to Matchroom is the pot at the end of the rainbow being Anthony Joshua. Now, this is going to be Gerald Miller's second fight under the Matchroom banner. Whether it's fight-by-fight deal or he's signed or not, he's being promoted. First fight was with Maurice Vaak, tall heavyweight. We've seen what Big Baby was able to do there. And now he's fighting another tall heavyweight in Johan Duopai. Is Matchroom and Eddie Hearn raising the profile of Big Baby Miller? Is he reaching outside of the Brooklyn and Tri-State area now with his alliance to Matchroom?
Well, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. You know, the fighters that he's been facing, like Mark, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. What's his last name? Wachsi?
Maurice Vaak.
Maurice Vaak. All right, well, Maurice Vaak, I mean, he's an older fighter, an older heavyweight. You know what I mean? Not going to say he's done, but he's on his way out. I say that Duopas is definitely a step up. And, you know, it's just a matter of styles makes fights, man. Styles makes fights. This is gonna be a guy, like I said, he's not scared at all. He's the type of guy that is gonna come and put pressure and
no, scared he's not. He showed that in the Wilder fight. Wilder hit him with a lot before he was able to finally get him out. I believe it was a late stoppage. Do you see Big Baby able to stop him? You know, thus far we've seen Big Baby kind of outwork his opponent in terms of activity and just, you know, lay on him and just keep pounding and pounding and pounding and ultimately get a TKO stoppage. We haven't seen that one punch power or that power that, you know, shakes his guy up and he knocks him out. Is Big Baby going to be able to get this big boy out of there?
I don't know, man. And you made a pretty good point, because up to this point, I haven't really been seeing that crazy power that we get from a heavyweight like Wilder. I haven't seen any of that. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how, if this fight goes all 12 rounds and, Baby Miller is able to keep that pace up, because, you know, it's easy to put the pressure on somebody and keep that pace up for all the rounds if the other guy's not, you know, creating a fight. But a guy like Duhapis, I don't think Baby Miller's going to have that time to really, really get relaxed and keep putting that pressure up. He's going to get disrupted. Duhapis is definitely going to bring the fight. So it's a test and it's a step up. Definitely.
Well, Big Baby obviously has his sights set on, you know, Joshua. We've seen the very graphic posts that he put out. Speaking of Eddie Hearn and Matchroom and Anthony Joshua and the opportunity, and then turning it into the future wife of Deontay Wilder. But, yeah, it's not a bad fight, right? It's a common opponent. And remember when Anthony Joshua faced Eric Molina, it gave people, fight fans, something to talk about. And that's what we'll have once this fight is done. We'll know exactly where Big Baby is.
Yep.
And we'll be able to pretty much gauge him in comparison with Deontay Wilder and Alexander Povetkin.
that's what I was just ready to say. It's going to be interesting to see how well he does with Duhapis and then comparing that to Wilder's performance, because we've done that before to Wilder and compared his performances with Drummer Boy and another fighter fighting Drummer Boy. And
Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, and Anthony Joshua being able to put him away faster. So, you know what I mean? It'll be like you say, a good barometer, good gauge to in comparison to see where exactly Big Baby Miller stands with Wilder, especially after all the smack that he's been talking about.
So last on the card is Victoria Noelia Bustos, who's going to be taking on the ever-popular Katie Taylor from the United Kingdom, newly crowned WBA female lightweight champion. 8-4, just stepped on the scene, I believe has a gold medal in the Olympics, and at least this is a unification. You know, I was coming in here with the intentions on shitting on this fight, but somehow this Argentinian Victoria Noelia is a IBF champion, and look, she's defended it at least once. You know, so let's see what Taylor does in this unification bout. Can't say that I'm all that interested. So it goes back to the question that I've posed for all the other fighters on this card. The profile raising. Is Eddie and Matchroom doing their job in raising the profile of a Katie Taylor? Here she is in her eighth fight, and it's a unification. I just don't feel the same promotion, publicity, and hoopla that we felt when Anthony Joshua was unifying.
It's always a little bit tougher for the ladies, right?
I don't know. I mean, I'm of an era that the name most common to me is Christy Martin, Layla Ali, you know?
I'll tell you what, Christy Taylor, I don't know if you've really seen her fight, man. But
I've seen her fight.
You know she can fight. I don't know much about Victoria. I'll look into her, but Kate, she's all over the internet. She's in so many highlight reels. I mean, she's a tough girl. She knows how to fight. She fights really good.
I'll tell you, Victoria's actually the younger girl because Katie's 31, Victoria's 29.
Mm. Well, Katie Taylor, she has a tough opponent in Katie Taylor, bro. She's just so ill. Like, I sit here and watch that girl and, like, I take pointers from her styles. You know what I mean? That's how effective and relentless she is. So I'll be definitely excited to see her get in the ring because it's just the performances that she puts on.
So now HBO invested in Eddie Hearn and Matchroom. As we all know, they signed Daniel Jacobs to a 6-fight deal. This will be his second fight on that 6-fight deal. Letter grade for now, Eddie Hearn's second card on HBO with the HBO budget, the HBO production, and the HBO machine behind him. How do you like this triple header?
I mean, the triple header, the whole card.
Overall.
Yeah, overall, this is what I'm saying. Overall, the card overall is what, as a boxing fan, gets me to say, okay, you know what? This is a good card. This is a good fight. It may not be all, you know, these fighters may not be facing super top opponents and, you know, in the classical, you know, big fights that we want to see. But overall, yeah, the card's got some good fights. You got a good card here. And I'm not going to say it's the best either. You know what I mean? But like we said, we just never know who's available, what's going on and what's being leveraged in the business part of the sport.
And really quick for all the listeners that have been with me for many, many years, to add to the conspiracy or to the rumors that people feel Eddie Hearn and Al Haymon and Showtime and all these things, like that there's some sort of divide. Keep in mind, Daniel Jacobs is still signed to to Al Haymon. And on the undercard of this fight is Arthur Spielka, another Deontay Wilder former opponent, another Al Haymon fighter, slowly getting on to that HBO production. Is that on the card in terms of shown on the telecast? Probably not, but one small pace forward One small pace forward. One more Al Haymon fighter on that network or production, right? So
we could definitely guarantee it's going to be a great night at the.
Oh yeah, and Solecki is the Al Haymon guy too. I think he signed with Lou as well. You know, so just saying. For those people that think that there's some sort of divide, the only divide that there is they're keeping us out of the loop while they make all the important decisions. Listen, you know the number 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 one time. Talk to us. Give us your opinion on this breaking news. Jacobs versus Solecki. Official press conference taking place tomorrow in New York City. And you can add us on Skype. Obviously, Nestor Gibbs on Skype to be part of the call. And we're going to go out to our sponsors and take some calls.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at elcaminoelectricalservices.com.
Going out to Russia. I love when Alex calls in. He always helps me feel super international. Alex, what's going on, brother?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, good, good. So what time is it over there?
Hold on a second. It's 9 p.m.
Oh, 9 p.m. Okay. Yeah. So, what do you think about this fight here, or this card, actually? Let's start with the entire card overall. What do you think of it?
Yeah, let's start with Daniel Jacobs. To be honest, I'm not even going to lie. I have no idea who that Solecki guy is. And I can't even pronounce his name, like his first name. And I think that's the point. It's a bad look when American fans watch your fight and they can't even pronounce the name of your opponent. So definitely not necessarily a good matchup, even despite the fact that the guy's undefeated. But obviously I'm not a promoter. I'm not Daniel Jacobs' manager, so I don't know what options were on the table. But what happened to such names as Billy Joe Saunders, Andre Bubu, Charlo, and even if they don't want to fight you right now for whatever reason, you still got to put some pressure on them, you know?
I mentioned those names, but both those guys are busy. So, we can't expect Jacobs to sit out, but I do like the option of at least mentioning their names and getting, the media riled up.
That's exactly what I'm saying. If you can't get them in your next fight, then you still gotta start applying pressure, call them out, mention the names multiple times, that kind of stuff.
I just feel HBO is trying to fight within their universe. It's like Guardians of the Galaxy, and they're in their own little world.
I mean, Boo is on their network, isn't he?
He is, and that's why I found it strange. I also brought that up. I said, I think that the better names were obviously Demetrius Andrade being the strongest name available. And the second strongest name available was Gabriel Rosado. Other than that, there is really no availabilities for any good level fights to take place with Daniel Jacobs.
Yeah, I agree. Bubu is a great fight for Daniel Jacobs. And I think Daniel Jacobs will be the favorite in this fight, without a doubt, in my opinion. Bubu does not have a good chin. So I see that fight ending in a knockout victory for Jacobs. When it comes to the Miller, and I'm not really excited about the guy. I'll be honest with you, it kind of pisses me off when these people, get in their ring fat and, don't stay in shape, not fit. It's just disrespectful to the sport of boxing, in my opinion. And it's not a good look for the sport when the fans watching some fat guy getting in there and going toe to toe with heavyweights.
So Big Baby Miller's a fat guy.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't think we could call him fat though. I have to defend him. I don't think we could call him fat. He's never.
He's definitely bulky.
Yo, but he's never.
Chubby.
Yeah, but he's never shown like a decrease in stamina. Like he doesn't let up. He's relentless with all that weight, until his weight starts to show in the ring in terms of slowing his performance down or, making him ineffective in some way. But right now he comes in at 289 and he's busting these guys down.
Yeah, I understand your point, but when you should also understand when the casuals watching him fight, they don't know none of that shit. They just see some fat guy in there.
Yeah, but I don't think
then
he's fat.
Compare them to Joe.
No. Come on, let's be fair. He's shaped well. He looks not muscular, but husky. It's not Butterbean out of shape. It's not Areola. His body looks. I would take Big Baby's. You would take Big Baby's Miller's bodies over Areola's body. Wait a minute. Let me stop. Let me not stop. There's more. You would take Big Baby Miller's body over Andy Ruiz Jr. body.
That's, I don't know. That's a big question. That's a 50-50.
Hey, Andy's been making some good improvements.
I don't know. Andy from the Joseph Parker fight, man, he was looking like a wet paper bag.
Yeah, he's not the same anymore. He's definitely been working on, and you could look at his IG or his any of his social medias, and you'll notice that he lost a lot.
And Miller's legs, bro. Look at the legs. I mean, we're going to have to see who's going to knock him out. You know, that those legs are going to help keep him up, bro. His legs are huge, but I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. From a traditional standpoint, we haven't seen him this heavy, but here's another comparison, right? Compare his 289 to, let's say, Tyson Fury versus Derek Chisora in their first fight. Hey, come on, legendary boxer. You're not going to mute yourself? What's going on? Oh, my God.
I got him.
Somebody joined the line. I can barely hear you.
Yeah, it's legendary boxer, but he's slipping right now. I got to remove him. So I lost my train of thought with this guy. Oh, yeah. So Tyson Fury and Derek Chisora, they came in heavy. I think they both were like over 268 pounds for their first fight. Let me look it up on BoxRec. And, bro, their bodies look like
Fury
shit.
Tyson Fury is very tall, so his fat is kind of distributed well around his body.
Yeah, but not for that fight. Shit, it was obvious that he and Chisora were ridiculously overweight for that fight. I'm going to pull it up and give you the actual weight. But you can continue.
Yeah, what else? What other fights we have on this card?
Katie Taylor is the last one. So look.
Which one?
Katie Taylor. So look, Tyson Fury weighed 255 versus Chisora, and Chisora weighed 261. But I know that's an error. It was 268. I remember that number like crazy. I just remember. I was following the hell out of that first fight. Those two guys had me so entertained.
Well, you got Katie Taylor.
But listen, once again, I just want to, my main point here is that when casuals tune in, regular viewers tune in, I just want them to see best athletes competing in boxing. So
yeah,
when
but
they compare these athletes to other sports.
But I don't know. I don't know if you're getting that point across by saying that the body is part of that, because Butterbean,
the way they look is definitely part of it.
But Butterbean is a name that we'll always know, and he was a fat guy.
I don't even remember that guy.
Wow. Well, you are from Russia. I think Butterbean was an American thing, and he definitely isn't like a heavyweight that made it anywhere. But that's what I'm saying.
He fought in China. He fought all over the world.
That's what I'm saying. He was still a fat guy that became super duper popular.
His name sounds familiar to me, but I can't think of him, the way he looks.
I mean, it's all good though. But so, what's your final thought on this overall card? Not worth it, then, in your opinion? What are you doing? You DVRing it?
I will only watch Jacob's fight. No, I will not wake up for this. I will not wake up for this fight. But I may watch it on replay. You know, finding on the internet somewhere. I don't know if it goes 12 rounds. Maybe I might be fast forwarding, you know.
So this is definitely not a fight where you're gonna call some of your friends over to watch it with you.
No, I mean, I watch fights alone to begin with.
Okay.
But it's not the fight I'm gonna wake up for, because remember, I have to wake up 6 a.m. to watch any of them fights. So not the fight I'm waking up for.
Well, all right, bro.
By the way, before you let me go, I just want to say a few words. Rip to Eubanks Jr. boxing career. I don't know what the fuck that was. It was sad to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, man. I felt the same way, man. You could hear my thoughts on that on yesterday's show. But listen, let me go from one Alex to the next. What's going on, brother?
What up, bro? You talking to me?
You're the only Alex I know.
Okay, cool, man. Yo, I was just going to I'm calling in to, yo, first of all, to say thanks, bro. I finally talked to this guy, Jose. You gave him my number, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we're in the same city. Cool, cool, man. Thanks for that. And y'all start training for him. Also, bro, I signed up for that Border Wars thing, too.
Uh-oh. I hear you coming in with Calgary now.
Yeah, 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 for sure, man. You must have my information then.
I'm pretty sure Jose, he's in charge of that, so I'm pretty sure he's got it.
Oh, really? Oh, that's sick, man. Good stuff. Yeah, I haven't been able to call in because I've been working lately, but yo, dude, did you see? I told you there was always going to be a Cuban kicking ass. You saw my boy Ugas? That knockout was beautiful, baby.
I mean, it was okay, but he's in trouble. He's got to fight Earl.
I know. They're going to give him a hard time. He's going to be a hard fight. He's probably going to lose that one, but...
But he's earned it. You know, think about it, right? Like, for those that don't know Ugas, he's got, like, maybe 8 straight fights. Yo, I know Ugas very well. He used to train out here in Passaic, New Jersey. And he changed trainers. I think he used to train with the trainer of Julian Rodriguez. He changed trainers. You know, he's out there in Las Vegas now. He got with all his Cubans. He was kind of, like, alone over here on the East Coast. And he's really turned it around. The only fight that I didn't like, I think it was like the second to last, right? I mean, maybe I got to check his resume. It was someone that he fought, and I'm like, it didn't look as good as I souped it up.
Yeah, he gets into these tough decision fights with a whole bunch of people. But I like Salas, man. Salas is a good trainer. He's got a good trainer. He's going to give him his best. Hopefully he gets a paycheck, man. I feel bad for these Cubans, bro. They work so hard in Cuba. They make no money. I like them to get a couple dollars just to get a house or something. You know
wasn't
I mean?
It Delorme? The heat didn't look good versus Delorme, I think. Legendary boxer, you gotta mute yourself. I'm gonna fucking eject you again.
I don't think he fought Delorme, man.
Yes, he did.
Sure,
what are you talking about?
He did.
Oh, I didn't see that fight. Shit. Oh yeah, he did. Oh, and he got a decision. That's sick.
Yeah,
man.
I think that's the one where he didn't look too good, bro. Because he definitely looked good in the Brian Perala fight. Oh, and the Jamal James fight, I think. Or maybe the Jamal James is where he looked good because he gave Jamal James his first loss. It doesn't matter. He's been on a good win streak. You know what it was? I think it was him, you know, trying to make that 140 because he lost to Amir Iman. You know what I mean? So I think it was him trying to make that 140. But, yeah, you're all over the place. You're on the wrong topic. Get back to Jacobs or we're moving on, buddy.
Yeah, no. Dude. Jacobs is a good fight, bro, but I don't like that Jacobs. It was a decent fight. He should be fighting the Charlos and all that, but it's a decent fight. What I don't like is that he's fighting in the UK, man. I got to tell you, man, I fucking...
No. He's fighting in Brooklyn Barclays Center, Bobby.
Oh. So I thought he was fighting in the UK since he signed with this guy.
No. This is Matchroom USA.
Oh, okay. Cool. Good. Man, I don't know, man. I just don't like the UK, but that's good then. That's good. But he should fight Jermell Charlo, bro. We need to see the best fight in 2018, bro.
Well, Jermell is a 54-pounder, and Jamal is at 60, and he's tied up with Centennial.
I know, but after that, bro, we need to get this fight going, bro. Danny Jacobs, like, come on, Golovkin and Canelo ain't going to fight Jermell, bro. They're going to...
Before Charlo and Jacobs, we need to see Andre and Jacobs. They're on the same network. Let them put that together. Alex, let me get to some other callers. I'm going to get out to our AP over here in the UK, since you hate them.
Dollar D. Beyonce Productions.
Why is the water so that nice, brother? This guy has been purple for like 8 years, 9 years. If Walter wants some of this work, he can definitely get it on ASAP.
BoxingWiz.com.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
We're doing good. Every time I hear that intro, I get happier because it just shows the world. It shows the world how long ago Anthony Joshua said, if Walter wants some of this work, he can get it. Yet he still hasn't sent the contract.
What up, Robbie?
Marination.
A little bit of marination. Put it on simmer.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I just want Alex to know that I love Cuba, by the way. I don't know what the hatred towards the UK is, but I love Cuba. I love everybody, but yeah, whatever. just a quick one. You mentioned some names for Jacobs potentially, but I think you mentioned Derechenko. I think he's tied up. I believe I saw yesterday his manager or someone said he's on the wilder card. And also,
is he really?
Toyota, yeah, apparently. I forget the opponent, but I believe, I think it was his manager, because I clicked on the profile and because I wondered who it was that tweeted it, but I think he's on the Wilder Ortiz card. And Toyota Corolla, I believe, coming up soon, there's been a card announced, a triple header in Japan somewhere. So he's tied up as well. But yeah, I was looking in the chat and people are generally not looking like they like the Selecki fight too much. But, you know, it's a six fight deal. He's not going to come in and just take on all the big guns. And, you know, I think Matchroom USA is just, I don't know. It's just going to take time and to make the bigger fights. I don't know. But Jacobs has just got to stay active. I think we had Eddie Hearn saying on what he wants to do is keep him active.
Well, this is definitely staying active. I mean, I like the activity without a doubt. I'm happy for Jacobs without a doubt that he keeps, you know, he's in the media. He's got another fight. So he's, you know, but I think just strengthen the opponent up a bit so that Jacobs gets some residual, because it's like it's always gonna go down like, yo, yeah, I seen Jacobs last fight. He knocked out that guy. Who is that guy? People need to know.
They need to know
who Luis Cubas Arias is so that the win means something.
Yeah, no, I hear you, but just the names that are getting listed tied up. So I mean, how far down? Looking for an opponent that's going to please it.
You're right. You're right. Sergey Derevchenko is on the card versus Dashawn Johnson.
There you go.
Stay busy fight. Dashawn is 22-22. He's been knocked out only three times, though, so he is a tough son of a gun. 30 years old as well, so he's fighting.
From the West Coast, man.
316 rounds boxed.
There you go.
This motherfucker has made boxing a career for sure. He fought all his life, brother.
He fought Peter Quillen.
He's fought everybody. Yeah, this is the fight that they said Peter looked bad. Remember, and now you know why, because he's only been knocked out three times. You could take 22 losses, but if nobody can get you out of there, that's different, bro. That means you're a guy that's going rounds. You know what I'm saying? Look, Luis Cubas Arias has a no decision versus this guy. Dominic Wade beat him by unanimous decision. Like, imagine all this guy's been in there with everybody. I could just shoot names at you right now. Paul Mendez, you know, Willie, look at that, Willie Nelson. Oh no, that's not Willie Nelson, sorry. Jay Leon Love.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Aaron Coley from over there in the Bay Area. Jesse Hart. But Derevchenko doesn't need this type of opponent. Derevchenko's last opponent was the Jamaican, right? What's his name? Come on, help me. The one that Curtis Stevens should have lost to. Come on.
You're off topic.
I am.
Getting back on the topic. But and Big Baby, I mean, let's see what comes of the Big Baby fight and whether he's, you know, he put that IG post out saying he was promised Joshua next. You know, he's obviously going to have to perform and, you know, hopefully he can show what he's made of. He's plenty of him in the gym lifting plenty of weight. So let's see what he can do. And Katie Taylor, you know, expanding her name, I guess. It's her US debut, pro debut. So, you know, that's putting her name out there. But I just think people are maybe coming down on Matchroom USA just a little early. I just think it's early in their, expanding into the USA. I don't know what people...
Look, I wish that you were around when PBC tried to come out and the world came down on them early. I mean, this is boxing.
Yeah. No,
boxing doesn't wait for marination and simmering. People want the best fighting the best now. And I think that it was Alex from Russia that called in and made the best point. When the U.S. public cannot pronounce your opponent's name, there is a problem. If your opponent is going to be a foreigner... No, if your opponent's going to be a foreigner, let him be a foreigner like Gennady Golovkin. someone that has established his name enough that we were forced to learn how to pronounce it because he is good for television. You understand what I'm saying? But if you don't...
But how many Gennady Golovkins are there? Do you know what I mean? Just because we can't say the guy's name doesn't mean he's necessarily a shocking opponent. I don't know. There's plenty of fighters' names I can't pronounce, but I'm pretty sure, you know, they're professional boxers. They're not there to lie down. But I'm not saying this is the greatest fight or anything. But I just think, like you said, we all want the best fights now. But what happens when everyone's fought each other? The back end of the year is going to be what, shit fights? We can't just constantly.
No, there's always someone coming up, bro. There's always someone coming up. Listen, right now, man, there's plenty of fighters, bro. Every division has nearly 1,000 fighters. There's plenty.
Yeah, but if you put the number 2 or 3 guy against number 999, they're not going to be happy.
No one's putting them versus 999. But let me tell you, when 1 and 2 fight, 3 and 4 move up, 5 and 6 move up, and so on and so forth. That's just the way it goes. People, we got to keep the wheels moving.
All I'm saying
I see what you're... I mean, look, your matchroom, bro. Your team matchroom. You like marination. You like adding a little bit of more water to the soup to give yourself more time to finish cleaning the house. I get it.
I'm just saying maybe number one and two are tied up. You know, Canelo and Golovkin are tied up.
Brother, like we said already here... Excuse me. Like we said already... Demetrius Andrade is available and is the strongest opponent.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
second strongest, and let's be honest, no disrespect, but guaranteed win was Gabriel Rosado. But they didn't even go for the marketability. You know why? Because boxing wants to continue to be boxing. Boxing doesn't want to extend the hand out to Golden Boy and ask for Rosado services. That's the problem here. We can't say that, you know, Matchroom shouldn't get, you know, we got to be soft on Matchroom. No, because they could have made a call to Golden Boy and made the best possible fight, even if they didn't want to make the best tough fight, which was Demetrius Andre.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that call was made.
No, we know it wasn't made.
All right.
Because HBO's done business with Gabriel Rosado. He's on the air. He just beat Martin Murray, who's going to be fighting Billy Joe. Jim Lampley and Roy Jones and Max Kellerman could have easily been talking about that during the commentating for Daniel Jacobs versus Rosado.
All right. All I'm going to say about the fight is I think Jacobs needs to do it a little bit more convincingly. I don't think we need to see another 12 rounds like Arias, you know?
Did it go 12?
Yeah.
Yeah, it went the distance, didn't it? He was like kind of pissed off at himself that he didn't get the stoppage, you know. And I think that was one of the, you know, if Jacobs would have come away with a big knockout of Arias, maybe people would have been a bit higher looking into this next one. But the last one was drawn out 12 round decision, and I mean he won clearly, but you know people want to see knockouts, you know. So I hope, you know, for Jacobs' progression and, you know, we say he's like the number three middleweight. I hope he can prove it and get a decent stoppage and, you know, something for the highlight reel.
Yeah, man, I agree. Rob, let me get out to Legendary Boxeador. What's up, brother?
What's going on, guys? So you guys are right. It's like 2 154-pounders for Jacobs. And for months, Eddie's been coming over here and fucking trying to lecture Americans how he's going to raise Jacobs' profile. I mean, this is not how you raise anybody's profile. Most people don't even remember that Jacobs fought Cuba Arias because Cuba Arias is such a fucking non-entity in boxing. No, but people in this chat are like, we don't even remember the last time Jacobs fought, and it's only been like, what, 2 months since he fought Arias, right? Like 2 months, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know how long it's been, but I get that feeling.
It's like an uneventful night. Nobody remembers that, and this fight... Well, who's going to remember this fight after like maybe a month or two later? Who's going to remember that? And he was like, I'm going to raise his profile. You got to tell Jacob's story. Yeah, you told the story once on HBO. They gave him like a 15-minute segment, but what else now? You got to pick some good names.
Well, maybe that's the plan, to keep giving him these types of fights so that you could keep saying the story on HBO until enough people watch it.
Yeah, that could be it. But I think... Polish crowd is probably going to fill it up. They're probably going to sell a lot of tickets. That's why they picked a couple of Polish guys on the card, you know? freaking.
Oh no, that's definitely the plan, bro. Polish people in New York City definitely buy and sell to. You know, they fill out those arenas. That's what. Every time Arthur Spielka fights in New York,
the Irish people have a lot of New York.
Yo, every time Arthur Spielka or Adam Wanocki and guys like that fight in New York or New Jersey in Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah, that babyface heavyweight that fights on PBC, even he had a bunch of fans.
No, he's Polish too. He's Polish too. Yeah, absolutely. That's Adam Wanocki, babyface.
Yeah, I'm sure the Spence fight that sold 12,000 tickets. I'm sure 3,000 or 4,000 Polish people came out and bought those tickets. So that's a good thing. And let's not air them, try to fool us and divert us. This is what they always do. Before they have a fucking shitty fight coming up, they throw this wrench in there, just like when Manny was going to fight Horn.
Come on, stay on topic. Oh my God.
I'm just talking about Linares and then Loma. I mean, you know that's not going to happen. Beltran is next. That's why Loma
was sitting.
All right, well, that's all I got to say about Jacobs. I'll call you next time. Thanks.
Jeez Louise. See Jacobs, and he's going to get mad at me like, yo, man, Boxing Voice don't like this car. As soon as he sees me in New York tomorrow, Boxing Voice don't like this car because he heard the show. He's got to see. It's people like that. They don't even want to talk about the topic. They'd rather talk about Linares. You see what I'm saying? You have to make yourself talked about. And regardless of what Robbie Hearns wants to say in the UK, if I can't pronounce your opponent's name, it's difficult for me to say, hey, Blanc, you want to come over and watch Daniel Jacobs fight?
Versus
the J silent? Matter of fact, you know what? I'm not going to go any further without getting Jeffrey to pronounce this guy's name.
It's Selecki, bro.
No, you're just saying the last name. What about we try to say the first name?
Well.
M-A-C-I-E-J-S-U-L-E-C-K-I.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's the first time ever Jeffrey couldn't even say the name. He just spelt it for us. He'd rather spell it than fucking read it. That is, I've never heard that before.
M-A-C-I-E-J-S-U-L-E-C-K-I.
What the hell?
That's fucked up. Come on, stop that. Maybe it's because it was in caps. Let me try one more time. Hold on.
Contender M-A-C-I-E-J-S-U-L-E-C-K-I.
I don't know. Maybe it's because it's in caps and it's reading it like that. I'm going to have to try and get it. That's hilarious, yo. Here we go. Let's try this one more time. If he spells it one more time, I'm going to die.
Masahi Selecki.
Oh, Masahi. Masahi Selecki. Yo, Jeffrey always slow reading. He's like, Masahi Selecki.
You had him confused for a second. Motherfucker started spelling.
Masahi. So the J is silent, though. But, I mean, just look. I mean, come on. I mean, and we could give him a better name, maybe like MJ Selecki, right? You know what I mean? Like, let's hook him up. Let's make Americanize him to get him familiar with the U.S. public. But, no, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to do is hit that thumbs up button right now, like really right now. Future, present, past, doesn't matter either. You know, let us know in the comment section if you enjoyed this show. This way we can continue to bring you breaking news topics throughout the day. I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter. Final thoughts. I'm happy to see Daniel Jacobs back in the ring so quickly, like Legendary Boxer says. He thinks it's like 2 months ago. But I would just love to strengthen the name value of the opponent. You see, because I'm not looking for him to get in there with the toughest just yet. I get the plan, Daniel. I hope you made it this far in the show. But Rosado would have been better for promotional popularity and profile raising purposes. Do me.
No final words for me, man. I'm like I told you, you just never know who's busy, who's not, fight scheduling and, you know, monies and all that. So, you know, I'll just keep giving Daniel credit for at least not picking a fighter that's just a total walkover. So like he's not that type of fighter. So I'm going to be in for a good fight that night along with a good card. Like I said, it's not an A-plus card like we always want, you know what I mean? But it's definitely a card that it's going to sell tickets. It's going to be a big boom in Barclays Center. I know that
Doomy, let me cut you off there. I think we got an emergency breakthrough here from Leonard Sterling in the UK. Leonard, is this you?
Yeah. You what, Niz?
Hey, you know why I didn't take your call? Because you never press. Yeah, I hear you. I didn't take your call because you never pressed one, my friend. But since I seen you in the chat saying I haven't taken your call, I just kind of pieced it together that this long distance number is you. Pleasure to finally speak to you, brother. Have you? Pleasure to finally speak to you. I'm glad you've been able to receive all the Patreon perks we've been sending you. And, you know, you are one of our favorite commenters around here. You always drop some great comments on all our shows. But we finally get to hear you talk live in person. So I'm going to get and play the first caller intro, first time caller intro. Man.
This is actually my fourth time, Miz. It's my fourth time I'm phoning.
Fourth?
Yeah, fourth time I'm phoning.
It's the trees.
It's the bud. All right, Leonard, well, go ahead.
Yeah. I can remember one time I was talking about the Smith Brothers. Remember I was telling you about the Smith Brothers?
Yes.
Well, it's just a quick call. I'm opposite to you, you know what I mean? I think this card is a good card. Don't you think the card is a good card?
Yeah, I think Ness is not not thrilled.
It's a good card in the sense that they got Daniel Jacobs active and Big Barry Miller active and Katie Taylor active. But, you know, we know Big Bailey Miller's opponent more than we know Solecki's.
Yeah, but remember something. They tried to make Spike O'Sullivan Jacobs. Yeah, and Spike O'Sullivan took the fight, accepted the fight. His manager trainer took the fight. And Golden Boy Promotion blocked it. So they had to go and get someone else. Spike O'Sullivan accepted the fight against Jacobs, and Golden Boy blocked it about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. So you have to find someone.
Yeah, well, that's my point when I was talking to Rob that, you know, these companies can't get it together. You know, people try to make it out to be an Al Haymon thing, but Eddie Hearn is now trying to do business with Golden Boy, and you're saying they're blocking it. So if they can't even get Spike, they can't get Gabriel Rosado.
Yeah, well, Gabriel Rosado is fighting in Puerto Rico. See, this is one of their problems as well. A lot of the middleweights have got fights already scheduled. Gabriel Rosado is on Cotto's card. There's a card who Cotto's got in Puerto Rico. Gabriel Rosado looked like he's headlining that. He can't fight Derek Yanchenko, can he? Because Derek Yanchenko is with Rossier, isn't it? He's with his trainer. So he can't fight him.
He's with his manager.
Yeah, he's with his manager and his Rossier. So he can't fight him. Canelo's not there. Golovkin's not there. Billy Joe Saunders is with... what's his name?
Andre is there. You could go down all the names you want. The best name is available. Andre.
But does Andre want to fight at Jacobs? Because I saw an interview with Andre. I think you did it. Yeah. I think it was it you who did an interview with Andre? Or someone did an interview with Andre. And he said that he needs another fight to fill out in 160. Because this asked him, will you fight Billy Joe Saunders? And he said that he needs another fight. In 160 before he goes for the top guys. That's what he said.
I mean, listen, what are we going to do? So are we...
One of the reasons I phoned up here is that you passed through the Katie Taylor, Victoria Bostas fight quickly when I was listening, like it was a nothing fight, yeah? As a person...
No, I said it's a unification. You know,
yeah, as a person who watches female boxing, yeah, as I do, yeah, this is a brilliant fight, man. This is probably going to be the fight of the night, in my opinion. You know what I mean? And give Katie Taylor exposure as well.
I don't know what type of exposure she's going to get. We never heard of her opponent. All we know is that she's got a title. Three fights ago, she had a loss, and she's got a bunch of losses scattered through her career. And again, we never heard of her. All her fights are basically in Argentina. And the time that she lost to somebody like 5-1 and something. I mean, like, dude, it's the female boxing, you know, it's not deep. It's not deep. Like, that's why Clarissa's also in a unification.
Yeah, but some of the best boxers come from South America. Best female boxers come from South America. Anyway, that's my view about female boxing. Anyway. thanks for taking my call, Nez.
Oh, man, without a doubt, and any time. Listen, somebody's got to – we need another Christy Martin. I'm not saying that she was good, but she made people remember, whether it was from all the shots he took and the blood or just the exposure that Don King gave her on the cards that she was on, you know, because I believe she was on a couple of Mike Tyson cards. Who knows what it was? But we all know that female boxing is just – it's thin. It's thin, you know what I mean? It's really thin.
Gaining some ground over the last, you know.
Yeah, but they need opponents, bro. They need opponents.
Well, yeah, like you said, it's not as deep.
You got names scattered out that can't even fight each other. It's not like, you know, Taylor could fight Hardy or Hardy could fight Shields or Shields could fight Taylor. Like, it's you know what I mean? You got a few names that you know, Ava Knight. You know, you got a few names that you know, but, like, can they even fight each other, you know? They can't. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, we were on Final Thoughts. We took that last call, especially because it was all the way from the UK. Shout out to Leonard Sterling, Patreon, and all always on all the videos. Want to thank everyone for tuning in. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up button, future, present, past. Drop us a 5-star review on iTunes to let the world know that this is their favorite podcast and the best podcast in the world. We're out. Peace.
For sure. And my name is Alex Doomsday Linus, and you can catch me on IG. Why am I getting an echo? I don't know. But Facebook, you can catch me, Alexander Linus. That's LAINEZ. And you can check out my new channel that I just opened up, Doomsday Chronicles, on YouTube. And don't forget to check us out on Patreon. Get that exclusive footage. TBV just came back from that Wilder camp and, you know, got some great footage out there. Great questions were asked. And, you know, we know Cash Weezy, Mickey Caparelli, and Matt are steady, you know, preparing everything and slowly letting it out. Be sure to check it out. Check us out.